Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have David Vidalis. And I'll set up the interview and then I'll introduce him. So basically, David introduced me into his community. I think it was like 2 years ago. It was like 100 people in there. It was like one of these like very heartfelt, like, you know, hey, you know, like if you would like to join. Like it was actually really nice. I usually just completely ignore them, but I got in. And you know, I didn't follow up with it too much, but then I looked recently and it's like 5,000-6,000 people in there. And I gotta say, I gave him props, because to build a community on Facebook, up to that, you know, it takes a bit of a grind, right? So that's what I wanted to talk about. So I got David. What's up, man?
Awesome. Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah. So yeah. It really did, feel like in the beginning you did a lot of outreach, right? Because you probably got people in the same way you got me in initially, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you can tell a couple things, right? So like my first thing that I think the listeners would want to know is, why did you go that route? Because there's not much control with a Facebook group. So you're kind of, you know, using someone else's platform. And then your initial outreach, kind of explain how you did that, you know, because what you did to me, I kind of want people to know. And then when you stopped and maybe moved on to something a little more, I guess, systems-based, right? Because you can't reach 6,000 people one-on-one, right? So those three things, if you could kind of go through, it would be great.
Awesome. Okay, well, so where to begin? So my story is, my background is with community building. So I actually started building communities locally when I was 14. So I mean, I'm from Stockholm, Sweden, hence the funny accent. But basically, I needed people to play my favorite video game with. So that's how I got started into this whole thing. And basically had to figure out how do I gather people to me, rather than me having to go out and chase everyone, pretty much. So I kind of like started a video game association here in Stockholm, Sweden, and got like arcade machines and all that kind of things. And gradually, I really got into the whole thing of how to build a community. So I ended up loving doing that more than actually playing the game. So I moved to South Korea. And then I started my own YouTube channel around this game and started working as a community manager, as an event manager, and really got into the whole thing. And it's a really long story. But then at a certain point, I was like, okay, I got to grow up. I got to like get a job. I just couldn't make the connection there, really. So I moved back home. And I got into a lot of like personal development and started working as a coach. And then I ran into the problem that I couldn't find new clients, right? Mm. And I even created my first online course, but I was really, really struggling with that. And I didn't know how to sell it. I pretty much thought that I could just create the course and then it would sell itself, pretty much, you know. I was really starting from scratch, right? And then at a certain point, that's when the dots got connected together and I kind of understood that, oh, wait a second, like all these people are struggling with how to gather leads. And for me, that was like, why would that be difficult? That would be like the most simple thing, right? Because all you got to do is build a purpose-driven community. Like that's how you attract people, right? So, and then it just made sense, like, because if I look at all the other platforms, all the other like tools I could use, I really didn't find anything that allowed for that sort of communication that I was going for. So the whole philosophy is that instead of putting yourself in the center, what you do is you create a valuable space around you for the people that you want to help about the problem that you solve. So instead of saying to people, hey, come to my YouTube channel, I'm going to teach you how to do this, you are more like, hey, do you have this problem? Come to this space that I have created for people just like you. So you can connect with each other, talk with each other, and then learn from each other, get the support and inspiration you need, you know, all the social benefits, right? And for that reason, there really wasn't anything except a Facebook group that allowed that all-to-all communication where people were as active, right? Because there are other places where you can do that, but really, when it comes down to it, like when you look at the numbers, like how many people are on Facebook and how active they are, then it and the fact that they have Facebook groups as a function, and that they're like putting all their effort into it, and that they're like giving you free advertisement. Like if your group is active and engaged, it starts showing up in similar Facebook groups, etc. So for me, it was just like, okay, this is the vehicle, this is the medium, this is how I'm going to build my audience organically. I was at the beginning phases of figuring out my message and what I was going to offer, etc. There was no way that I could do it with paid advertisement, right? And yeah, so basically I started the Facebook group, and then of course no one was joining because it was, you know, I was a nobody, no one knew who I was, and how are people gonna get in there? I basically started by just calling my closest friends and just explaining what I was gonna do, and then inviting them over, right? So I got like 10, 20 people right in the beginning. And, you know, that really feeds into the engagement algorithm when you have like 100% of your members talking, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, so there's a bunch of different ways of getting people into the group. Obviously, I would need to like create a profile funnel where I kind of like invite people naturally from my profile into my group. And for people to see that, I would need to add friends, and I would preferably add the type of people that would like to enter my group. So I would have to find similar Facebook groups as my own, and then just become friends with a lot of people, right? And then when it came to the direct outreach, it was like, okay, so basically what people were saying is that you have to go to these groups and post valuable content. But I was just beginning with this. I was just like, I wasn't sure what people wanted, etc. And I saw that people were posting valuable content, you know, yeah, citation marks there. And it was like ignored 9 times out of 10, right? So I basically just became friends with people, and the people that accepted, I just started connecting with them, and I just found it to be the most effective way of doing it, was to just send out a message, invite them to the group, and yeah, people started joining.
Yeah, when did that switch over to like a more scalable type of growth? Because, you know, you can do that for a while, but even with outreach, you know, Facebook only allows so many messages, yeah, you know, that you can send out.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you move from that onto like actually, let's scale this thing to, you know, 6,000, and how did you get the more other people in? And was it just Facebook organically, or what else did you do?
Yeah, so I decided to put like all my emphasis and focus on creating a really, really good product, and instead of just trying to build an audience for an audience sake. But what ended up happening is that by really, really focusing on creating the engagement in the group. So the engagement is really, really high. It's about like 85% or something like that. It's like 90%. So I just focused a lot on creating high engagement in the group. And then at a certain point, I just didn't need to send them out anymore. And I don't even add friends anymore either. So it's just happening by itself.
How many people would you say you had in the group when the engagement kind of took over? From you driving it to, you know, sort of moving on its own?
That's really hard to say. It's kind of like you notice these different... You kind of notice that something happens at these different numbers, at like 500, 1,000. I think it's something to do with the algorithm. I assume that Facebook has these kind of like thresholds, like at a certain number, then it's going to show it like 10% more or something like that. I'm not sure what it is. But I think it's psychological as well. When people see a group with 400 people, it's just very different than seeing a group with 4,000 people. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, I should be in there. Like that's definitely a place where I should be. So it's not, you know, looking at the data, looking at the graph, it's very linear. It's extremely linear, like how many people are joining each day. So it's just that I didn't need to do outreach at a certain point, and I could just focus entirely on my product and my students, which is where I would prefer to focus, right?
Well, I always have different thoughts on this. You know, because it's one thing building up a big group, right? And, you know, people join, but it's like, you know, if anyone can be a member, do I really want to be a member of it? You know, so with me, it's always like, how do I create something where, yes, we're driving people in, but we're also pushing a lot of people away because we don't want them. You know, we don't want these people just coming in, right? So it's this balance of, yeah, you know, like kind of quality over quantity, right? Which,
yeah, yeah.
It's difficult, right? Because you want to grow, but you don't just want to grow for growth's sake. Like you said, you know, building an audience just to build an audience, it's dumb. You know, I mm-hmm. see a lot of people do that and fail.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, I always feel like, yeah, you want to get that 4,000 people in, but man, to get the right 4,000 people in, it's difficult,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You probably have a lot of the people in your group who you're just like,
Yeah.
Like, you know, like... Like I kind of appreciate you're in here, but just for the algorithm's sake. You
know, yeah, I mean? Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's always hard. How did you start moving people from free content to actually getting them to pay? Because that's, I find, to be tricky unless you kind of set that expectation from day one.
Yeah. And that's one of the keys, right? You have to be really, really clear about that. This is... Well, I mean, at least for the way I did it, my strategy was like, this is a free community and you are appreciated here, of course, but we are here for a reason. Like, this is a purpose-driven community. Like, we are not here just to hang out and have fun. Like, the reason we are in this community is because we want to reach this specific goal. And really making that goal really, really clear right from the beginning gives people a reason to interact and to talk, and they get the framework. It's kind of like putting out the topic of what we should be talking about and why we're here or what's the purpose, right? Like, why is this important? And the whole thing with a free level is that, you know, people learn, but then at a certain point, it's kind of like, whoa, well, I'm just learning and getting options, but I'm not really getting the results, right? And at the same time, you know, all my students, they are still in there. So it's like I'm intermingling my free audience with my paid audience. And by really, really focusing on my products and my paying students, that spreads, right? Like, people are like, wow, David is like really over delivering. This program is amazing. It's the best thing I've ever done in like 20 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all there, you know, together with my free audience. So it kind of just spreads. It takes on a life on its own, pretty much.
So how comprehensive is this program that you're doing, right? Because there's like different ways to go about courses, right? You can do like a easy do-it-yourself. You can do-it-yourself with coaching. You can do like a cohort. We're going to throw 200 people in. You know, you can do more of a boot camp, smaller type thing. Like, how did you structure it? How comprehensive is it?
Yeah, so basically there's a lot of emphasis on mentorship and direct support. So basically, you know, I know what I needed when I started. I needed a mentor. I didn't need just a course where I could kind of go through the theory and it would mean one thing for me. And then like half a year later when I had learned a lot, it would mean something completely different. And I needed someone to kind of ask for feedback, ask for help. And, I've been in these programs as well. I've invested in programs that are like $10,000, and I just didn't think they lived up to it. I thought they were really, really good at one thing. So like building an audience, but it never gave you the whole roadmap. So my ambition was from the beginning to create something that took a complete beginner that didn't know anything through three phases. Basically, how to build an audience, how to position yourself correctly, and how to figure out exactly what that audience needs. And then phase number two is to create and launch an online course just as the first offer. Then you can do whatever offers you want, but just mm-hmm. as the first offer, based entirely on what your market needs, like precisely matching, and to actually create it together with your students so that you know 100% that it's actually working. And then the third phase is to take that perfect audience and that perfect offer and set up the systems pretty much to put those things together. So it's basically build your audience, create your course, start making sales. So it is big, right? We cover a lot, but at the same time, we don't do like paid ads. We don't go super in depth And it's just basically about starting making sales and building a purpose-driven community, pretty much.
When you just gave me the overview, the first thing I thought was that this is time-consuming, right?
Yeah.
You know, building an audience, naturally, the way you're saying, is time-consuming. So if you throw someone into a course like that with mentorship, you know?
Yeah.
You're locking yourself in and your time for, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, a year, maybe, you know, depending on this person, right? So how do you think, because the reason we make online courses is because they're scalable, right? We can scale it, build once, you sell twice. What you just mentioned, it's like I'm kind of taking on 100 clients in a way, and each one is taking up some of my time. Like, how can you scale that?
Yeah, really good question. So first of all, I didn't quite see it as they are taking my time. I would rather see it as they are giving me the market research. So whenever I'm working with them closely, first of all, I don't do it in Messenger. Like if someone asks me a question, I'm like, ask it in the support group. So directly send them to the support group so that when they ask something, it makes the support group valuable, and that makes the other students come there. They are interacting, and you know the engagement inside there is absolutely crazy compared to at my free level. So it's not just that I'm helping them; it's that they are helping each other,
right?
Which makes them get a lot better results. Which you know they are beginners. I'm helping beginners and intermediates, right? And also, I test all my scalable products in there. It's kind of like my testing grounds. So for instance, so I'm kind of like in there and I'm saying, okay, so you're struggling with how to make sales over the phone. Okay, we're going to do a masterclass this week on how to do that. It's like 2 or 3 hours pretty much. And they're like super happy. You know, it's kind of like over-delivering deluxe, right? And then I gather all their questions. So that enables me to create the product. Then I do it live for them and they ask me questions throughout. I take notes and then they fill out surveys. They give me testimonials for that specific product and feedback, etc. And then I have everything ready to go and create a high quality, scalable product outside where I'm not going to get drowned with support questions, because that's kind of how I see it. People are going to give you support questions in either case. So you might as well have them in your support group. So you're answering a lot of people at the same time.
I mean, sort of. It's, you know, if you give someone a membership, then yeah, you're going to get customer support questions forever, you know, as long as they're paying. Yeah. If you just have a one-time fee, it's like, well, you know, you're in for like 6 months. Afterwards, like, you know, maybe I'll answer, maybe I won't. Like, because it's, you know, it depends. I mean, I see what you're doing, right? I see the market research. I think that's super valuable. You still wonder, like, you know, how long. You know, like, what's the end goal here, right? Because eventually it just seems like it's going to get overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing here is that as the program grows, so that's the strategy I teach my students, right, is to get sales fast, early, right, to get the momentum going. And then you increase the price as the value goes up. So there's always that correlation, right? So, so this is, you know, at a certain point, well, this is always increasing in price. So this is, and then all my other products, they kind of trickle down from there. So as soon as the gap is too big between the free level and my signature program, then I put something in between, right? And then when that gap becomes too big, then I put something in between. So it's just kind of like this, at the end, this program is probably going to be some sort of mastermind thing, you know, for $50,000 or something, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense. You're just, you know, speaking about the value ladder.
Yeah.
Like I've always had the opposite approach. So you're kind of, you know, you go from the free up, and I used to always go from the up to the lower me, right? Because I'm
not actually, because I start with the free. That's right. But then I have my most expensive program, right? And then I just increase the price of that. And then when it gets too big, then I fill in the middle. So it's beginning and middle. And then I just fill out the middle, right? And then it just keeps on stretching out.
Yeah, see, I used to go always after the high end, right?
Yeah.
No free, no middle, just high end, right? And then slowly slowly build out the medium, and then okay, we need the the second you have the medium, you need the free to kind of fuel that one in. You know,
right.
I found for the high end, like I don't really need an audience. Like I can just go right after my exact perfect customers. And with the prices being, you know, high enough, your time is used up a lot. So you can only have like 5-6 clients because it's just so much time because it's, you know, it's expensive.
Right, right.
But I found like I just go from the other way, which I, you know, I like yours too. Like yours is, your part is always what I've been missing, you know, in my things.
Yeah.
Because I can't do high end to budget clients because they're always a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I'm going to take a guess and say that you're really, really good at what you do. And
yes.
that's what allows you to do that. You know, when my clients come to me, they have no idea what kind of course they're going to create.
Yeah.
Like they don't know what a niche is. Like I'm helping people right from the beginning. Like I'm doing something that, you know, they can't sell high ticket. There's no way. And not when they're starting out.
I'm completely with you, man. Like I've had a few clients come up to me like that too. And they didn't understand what they're getting into. Like they jumped into deep end with me. I'm like, we're not playing around here, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they got all their money together. You know, they paid me. I started getting like, we're going to make this happen. And they're like, Tom, like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, well, you know.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
That's what it takes, right? You know, unless you want to do it for 3 years, you know, if you want to really chunk it down into 4 months, let's say, it's going to take a real... Yeah. It's going to take 4 years and 3 months. You're going to have to put that work in regardless in some way. You know, I'm just going to help you like avoid mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just the time. It's, you know, having to become a completely different person, mindset wise, et cetera.
That is true.
So that's easier said than done for many people, right?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This is more valuable to the listeners, but I do think it's important. You know, you've built up this group. You've helped others build up groups as well, I would imagine, right? That's
right.
Your program, right?
Yeah.
So how would you do it now faster than the way you did it, right? Like, how would you approach it now? Like, if someone's listening and like, okay, well, I have these people who are into go-karts, whatever, some, you know, any type of like small niche, but engaged. Those are always the best. Like small, engaged niche, like knitting or anything. How do I build up a group really, really fast? Because they have a purpose usually. Like they're like, okay, I have the skills. You're not able to find a person of my caliber in your town, you know, because that's when online courses are really helpful. Like, you know, there's like people engaged, but they just can't find it locally. So they go online. And someone's like, I'm in that spot, but I have no idea what to do. I got to build up an audience. Like, how would you tell them like, okay, let's do a Facebook group. This is how we're going to do it quicker.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would do it much different than what I did it. Let's just say I was doing a lot of experimentation, right? So I was trying a lot of different things. But yeah, basically, if you come to me and let's say you love going go-kart, or do you have a go-kart track, or what would be the reason you want to do it about go-karts?
Okay, so for example, someone has maybe a go-kart track, right?
Yeah.
Or they are into racing it, and they're going to teach people either how do I get better at racing go-karts and maintaining it because it's a lot of work, or B, how do I make a go-kart business work better? I'm going to help you make an additional, you know, because they know they're going to teach their competition, right?
Right.
So it could be either or, right? Either
or. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, this would work the best if it's not locally, right?
Yeah.
It kind of defeats the purpose to be online if you have a, not exactly, but, you know, but generally what I teach my students then is that we start by just figuring out a mission statement. And that mission statement is just, who do you help? What do you help them with? And why is that important for them? So I know there's a lot of different variations on that, like if you want to put the vehicle in the mission statement, but I just find, generally speaking, that this makes the most sense. So basically, let's say you want to help people, you want to help go-kart enthusiasts build and sell their go-karts so they can work with their passion and have more fun. Let's say that's your that's your thing. Then what you do is you create a community for go-kart enthusiasts to connect with other go-kart enthusiasts, to connect and network, learn together, exchange tips, valuable experiences, and then you know, get the support and inspiration they need to stay on track, pun intended, and succeed with this specific goal to create and sell your go-kart. So that was just an example, right? But basically, you take, instead of you creating a group where you're like, come here and I'm going to teach you how to do this, you create a group for those kinds of people. So you're hitting like the identity level around a specific problem, the same problem that you're going to charge people for later on to help them with.
Yeah, I think the only question here would be, because, like, you know, I'll make it a little more specific, right? Because this is what I usually see. Let's say you have people in little towns, right? They have these go-kart tracks. You know, I mean, we'll stay with the same topic just because.
Sure.
You know, and they're all looking for a coach on how to get their business, you know, making more money, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, you're not going to find a go-kart coach in your town unless you're, like, just super lucky, right? So they just can't. So they're going online, and, you know, there's maybe nothing like that. You're trying to build this audience. You know they're out there. There are people that own these, you know, tracks, but you can't easily find the audience, you know, because when it comes to these small niches, sometimes you cannot easily go into Facebook ads or anything, and you can't create it. Like, they're just not, there's not enough data for that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you tell your, you know, students, like, okay, well, you know the mission statement, you know who you're going after. Yeah, these people, it does make sense. But there's really nothing like that where you can kind of piggyback, or you can't just go and steal someone else's members from a group.
Mm. Yeah. So I didn't quite understand. So let's say if you have a, there's a person living in a small town, and he is a go-kart, he has a go-kart business.
He has a go-kart business, yeah. And there's a lot of these all over the country, right? And you're going after them, you want them in your group, yeah. But there's no groups like that already on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so you teach go-kart business owners how to...
That's it.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, then it's different. Then it might not work. My strategy might not work for that, actually. You would probably do like direct outreach or do something else.
Yeah, okay.
Or you could do it a bit more general. Like, you could say, we have a community for small business owners on how to grow their businesses. Like, even though they are like locally inhibited, right? Or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
So then you would go like, okay, so this is a community for small business owners that are like living out around the country, and here you can exchange your tips and tricks, and you can find all sorts of like local businesses struggling to gather their audience or to get their customers, right? So that would be one way of doing it. The way I do it is, the way I validate my ideas is that if I can't find another Facebook group about it, then my Facebook group is probably not going to work either. Right. So then I try to find an angle, or, you know, go one step up or one step to the side, so that I can find that thing that's already validated in the form of, yeah, people are congregating around this topic. That means that I could do it as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. See, this is like the two different tech, you know, ways that we look at the business, right? You go over like the audience, like, where can I hijack the audience? I go after like, well, this is super valuable.
Yeah.
Transformation is going to be worth a lot. You can make it for a lot of money. These people cannot find anyone like you. We need to get, you know, so it's like, this is the high end market, which, you know, so yours is something I'm learning, right?
Mm.
Like, it's stuff which is like, you know, yeah, it's easier, but it's, to me, more work. Like, I find it easier to get that one client that's able to spend $10,000, you know, on the coaching than like, oh, we got to build up, you know, 1,000 customers. Yeah. So it's interesting, right? And I think a lot of course creators have that path that they have to choose in the beginning. You know, do I go into the mass, you know, or do I go after a couple, right? And I think it really depends on expertise.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, the brain surgeon is going to get paid more than the general practitioner, right? The what I see as the problem. Well, what I don't think one way is better than the other. It really depends on your position. Like, what are your skill sets? What do you love to do? What is your experience, etc.? If you can go for the, like, the small individual, like the, like, go direct, then, and you prefer to do that, then of course, that's a perfect strategy. Like, obviously, you're making it work, and a lot of people as well, right? So what I found in my experience is that there's a lot of people, coaches, speakers, trainers, etc., that are really good at what they do in real life, right? It's just that they can't do it online. They, like, they're struggling with the tech, and they don't understand that when you enter the online marketing space, there's 10 times more noise. So you have to be like 10 times clearer about your message, right? So, you know, and a lot of people just, they're just not good enough at what they do, right? So that's another, like, hidden benefit of having a...
That's the truth, man. That's like the hard truth that you got to tell some people. Yeah, like, you're just not that good. you have to go after the lower hanging fruit, man.
Yeah. No, and, you know, and really invest in themselves. And I can honestly say I've learned so much from my own community, right? Just having people around me at all times talking about these things. Whenever I try to start conversations, I start them about things that where I would like to learn more, right? So it's like a constant learning experience, right? So it's not just that you're learning the market research, like what people want and need and what they're struggling with. Like, you have experts in there that are like much, much better than you, and then at least for me, right? And it just helps so much. And that's just one of the things that I love about doing podcasts as well, is that so often you can learn so much from the other person, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I brought you on. You know, I'm very comfortable with my high-end thing, but I find what you're doing very valuable too, and I'm just not that versed in it. You know, I want to know more. Like, I keep thinking, like, I'm missing that part too.
And why do you want to, what do you think it would help you with? Like, how would it benefit you?
I can only help so many people the way I'm helping now. Only so many, you know, like I said, I'm maxing out like 5-6, you know, at a time. That's a very small impact that I can have. I have a lot more people asking me about stuff that I'm just like, well, one, I have no time. Two, you know, I don't have more time. I just can't even go after it. You know, I keep thinking about it. The third thing is, look, man, high-end boutiques like what I have are great, but I will take customers over clients any day. Even though I love my clients, I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you have 1,000 customers and they all sort of go through a path that you kind of drone out for them, it's just much less thinking and effort in some way on your end. Because you kind of built this up once and you're selling it multiple times. Where with me, it's like, well, we do have a process, but it's very custom because it's, you know, it's very high end. Mm. You know, if someone pays you a lot, they expect a lot more than if they... you know, give you so. it's a lot of different things which I'm, you know, considering. Like, I've had businesses before where it was all customers and no clients, but I didn't have the control. It was always built on someone else's platform, or Facebook or Google, you know, someone else that controlled the business. And, you know, my perfect business would be having customers, not clients, eventually, you know, just getting away from it so I can have more of an impact, but have the control. Mm-hmm. You know, no Facebook, no Google, like they got to come into my ecosystem in some way. And then I can really focus on it. Right. Cause I hate building something knowing like, oh, one day some platform could just shut it down. Right. It's
right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's happened to me before. So I just wouldn't want to do that. And I never recommend it to my clients either. I'll be like, look, sometimes you can get easy pickings on social media, but I always say, personally, because I don't post that much, but I have a lot of success by getting the right clients in just by posting, you know, highlights and ideas on social media, right? Because that's really, you know, easy to consume. And then more comprehensive things in my own platforms, you know, whether it's a podcast or emails, whatever, right? Like, bring people in, then they can really get value. But on social media, I'm just like, I'll put like a couple sentences out.
Yeah.
And usually that's enough. You know?
Mm. Okay.
So maybe it's just, you know, the way I've been kind of kind of like just my experience with the socials, you know.
Mm, yeah. So which platform was shut down? Where were you?
So I had a business on Amazon.
Yeah.
Which got shut down. There was no customer service, no reason, nothing to, you know, do. So it was like a hot side hustle, but it made enough money where, you know, I was like, hey, hold on a second here.
Yeah.
We've invested almost $250,000 or more into it.
Yeah.
You know, it made the money back, but I mean, you know, you built something like that. You're just like, I could have built something else that I could have still had, right? You know, in the beginning, we had an SEO company, which kind of made way for the course marketing and everything like that, because it taught me how to, you know, market and deal with clients and blah, blah, blah. Mm. But we couldn't control Google, right? We could use the same process on 50 different websites, do exactly the same things, and the outcomes would always be different, you know, because it's Google, right? So I just don't like going after something like that. Like if someone comes up to me and says like, oh, I want to build a course on how to get more clients on TikTok, I'm like, you know, that's a very short-term business, even if you make money with it.
All right. Yeah. Right?
So that's always been my mental thing. That's why when you said you're into building audiences, I love that part. Until you know, the Facebook group.
Until I came to the Facebook group. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what do you
think? Yeah, I think just for me, the way I see it is kind of like, why would I try to spend energy to draw people from where they are to where I want them to be? So it's more like, okay, people are on Facebook and I think they're going to be there for quite a while. I think I just, of course, Facebook is going to change their things and, you know, I had friends being blocked by Facebook all the time for no reason at all. And I'm aware of that. And of course I'm gathering an email list and that's crucial, right? Yeah, I just don't see the competition at the moment. I just don't see anyone doing anything similar to a Facebook group, like what a Facebook group allows you to do. I just love being on a platform where I can look at all my customers, just click on their names and learn everything about them.
It's just, yeah.
It's just crazy, actually, how easy it is when you think about it, right?
I mean, it's got its benefits, right? It's just that control, right? Like that's one of these rules I have. And I always try to stress to people, it's like, if you don't really control your business, you don't actually have it. You know, you're kind of borrowing.
Yeah, right.
You know, a piece of it. So, like, I see the value, right? And I see a value of having a Facebook group as long as you can get people, and you're working on getting people into your own ecosystem, right? Like, much more.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole idea, pretty much, is that, you know, as soon as people apply to join, first thing you get going is just getting the market research, and then immediately you ask for the email. So it's like, if you ask it correctly, you get about half. So like half of the people that enter your group will give you their email, right? And then like whenever you do some sort of webinar, lead magnets, whatever it is, and you're giving them away in the group, it's just get out of the group, get onto my email list, right? So it's not like you run your whole business inside the Facebook group. It's more of a branding thing and really warming people up and people getting to connect with each other and getting warmed up and see you as an authority, etc.
You'd be surprised how many people I've seen running their business from a Facebook
group. Yeah, they do. Yeah, know? Yeah.
And then the problem here is the complacency, right? It's so easy. Why should I? Yeah. Right? And then one day you're just like, oh man, I really should have from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of these things like you got to set in place, you know, like when you first start, like how do I get people into my ecosystem? But saying that, right? And you're doing that, you're, you know, telling them this is going to be something you're going to have to pay for in some way or another if you want to continue to at higher levels. I just see a lot of value in what you're doing, right? I see a lot of value in a Facebook group. It's once it's growing on its own, I think it's easy to kind of, you know, get people in front of you and then, you know, the ones that are not right, just be like, well, just don't go any further. Maybe just stay at the free level, you know, which is cool, you know?
Yeah. I think the main benefit, if I had to choose one, is the complete insight into your customers. It's like you're getting it served on a silver platter, just exactly what they want and need and why they want it and why, what they're trying to get away from and what they're trying to get towards. It's really it's really amazing when you think about it, that you have this tool in your business that's just constantly giving you the data you need in order to produce the perfect offers. So I think that's the main, from my point of view, that's, it's just giving you everything for creating your copy, for everything. It's just giving you the whole thing.
Yeah, that's very valuable. Like, I get it from, you know, speaking to my perfect clients in depth. Mm. But for a lot of people who can't do that,
yeah,
you know, I think this is like just as valuable. You can get the same thing just from the masses, right? So you kind of look at mass psychology. Like, this is kind of what, you know, like the whole group is moving towards, and you can kind of offer that. And I don't know about you, but I spoke with some of the platforms, and, you know, looking at my clients, like, people have made more in May and April than they have in the whole year before, just from online courses, right? So,
yeah.
So it's definitely growing. But then,
yeah, for sure.
But then when I seen a platform like Teachable, right, which is, you know, they're not huge, but they're big enough to matter, you know, in the space.
Right.
Move away from Facebook completely, right? They shut down the Facebook group, you know, and it kind of makes you think too, like, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing, you know, because I'm still looking at the Facebook groups, even though I'm not 100% in, but they're moving away from it. What do you think?
Yeah. It might be, first of all, what you mentioned, like, they don't, like, if Facebook changes something, if it just disappears or whatever, they're standing there and they haven't done anything with their investment, right? Like, they had all these leads and they couldn't get them into their group. I think it might be also some legal things. Like, at a certain point, you know, I don't know if you know about the case here in Sweden. Some guy had a Facebook group. Someone posted something racist, and then the group owner got convicted. Yeah, so, you know, and that's the thing, right? Like, as a group owner, you're actually responsible for what everyone is doing and saying inside your group, which is not, like, ideal, of course. So I think at a certain point, I don't know if you were in the Teachable group, but it was basically people just fighting all the time.
I barely ever got into it.
Yeah.
My only thought was, you know, they got the funding, they were bought out. Right, because I've seen you know the owners talking about that. They were bought out by a different company, so okay, you know, outside investment came in. They made some decisions. When I seen them posting about the new group, it was only for Teachable members, right?
Yeah.
So I've seen, like, sort of like a missed opportunity, right? Like, if you want to get people into Teachable to become members. Like, why not keep, like, a free version around, unless it was just, you know, too much cost of the admin and you know, kind of policing it. But also, my second thought was, you know, Teachable is such, in a way, a crappy platform. Always issues, always customer service problems, always going down, like, different things. And the few times I did go in the group, it was people complaining about the issues. So I'm like, I don't know how many customers they can get from these complaints, right? So
that might be another thing as well, right? Like, it's just bad publicity when you can't control what people are saying.
Yeah, it was very tricky, but it was, you know, they had a big membership. They had a 30,000 plus audience, which I think, you know, it must have taken them a lot of work and money to build up, you know? So I always kind of question, like, you know, these audiences. Like, so with you, you know, how big do you think you want to build yours up before it's, you know, time to sort of cap it or, you know?
No, I don't. At my current state, I don't see why I would shut it down. I would just continue going. And my aim is to make it 1 million people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just probably having a lot of admins, you know, at that point, because it's
it's probably gonna need more than me, right? At 1 million people.
No, I mean, even less. Even I think
of course
30,000, right? You're gonna start getting all the Udemy teachers in, you know, with their problems. So okay,
yeah,
interesting. Do you have some kind of an exit strategy? Because I like what I've been looking and thinking about recently is, you know, it's very different if you build a brand. You know, like even about an online course, right? Like a brand that's doesn't need your face to sell the product, doesn't need fake urgency, doesn't need all this nonsense, right, which we kind of need to use if someone's not that good, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, those you can actually sell on the marketplace at some point. You can actually maybe make, you know, a good exit. If you don't do that, and if it's like your own face, personal kind of thing, then you're kind of stuck with it, right? So
that's also one of the reasons why I don't think you should create the Facebook group about you. So basically, if I left tomorrow, like, people are going to be like, oh, that's sad. But it's not going to be like the point of the group is gone, because I was never the main content. The other members were like that they can talk with each other, have conversations, etc. And I can just outsource that or sell that to someone and let someone else take it over. No problem at all. It's not like I'm going live there all the time, etc. That's not what it's built around. From my point of view, at least. Yeah.
No, it's smart. That's why I was wondering, because I didn't actually see, like with some people, you'll see, you know, their face or big name on top. And initially,
I do have that.
Well, I think in the beginning it's cool, right? Like, as long as you know, as you don't have like, you know, this is this type of group with David, you know, and just keep that in forever, you know, I think you can switch it out. But I always think about the exit strategy too, right? Because I think it's important. Like, you know, if you build a business that you can't sell or do anything with, then you're kind of like just a glorified employee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. I think if you know you want to do it for the rest of your life, you know, that makes a difference. I mean, what would you do with that freedom? You would, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but for some people it would be like, well, if I had all that freedom, I would just go back to the business. Like, what would I do with, what would I do with the freedom? I would just want to do what I want to do, and this is what I want to do, so I'm already doing it. So what's your freedom worth if you're not doing something with it, right?
It's not really the freedom part that I'm thinking of, right? Like, I've seen examples of people who, let's say, built up a supplement company.
Right, yeah, then it's completely
different. You know, and then they quickly sold it off because someone else wanted it, and they build up another one right away because, like, well, now I have a huge nest egg that I can play with. And I'm just going to build the same thing over again, but now I'm super comfortable and I'm, you know, super relaxed about it, right? So that's that exit part. Someone comes in like, I'm going to buy this group from you for $1 million. You're just like, well, okay, you know, I'll do another one. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's just my thinking behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it gets a bit different, like what kind of mindset you go in with. Like, yeah, this is something I'm doing to create a business and to sell it and to make money, etc. Or if it's more like, I've had this story, like up until now I've been living with like eating disorders, and then like 5 years ago I figured out how to solve it, and I know that my life calling is to help others overcome this as well. There's nothing's gonna change that, you know. So I'm just gonna go for it all in, right? And there's no point. It's kind of like thinking about the money back guarantee when getting into a course, rather than like, yeah, I'm just gonna make this work. You know, it's not exactly the same, but it's a bit the same as well, right?
Well, the only difference I'm saying is, you know, like you said, the purpose, right? Build around the purpose, easy to sell. Don't build around me and my transformation, which is going to be very difficult to sell later on, right? You're kind of going after the same outcomes, but you're setting yourself up for a possible better ending, you know, with one, where the other one is just like, well, it's just about me and my transformation. Great. Who's going to buy that? So that's the only thing. All right, man. It's been great having you on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, they can go to my Facebook group, since we've been talking so much about it. So davidvidales.com/start. And there you can join my group or download my lead magnets, or it's like a small little menu and you can go wherever you want. So it's davidvidales.com/start.
Awesome. And we're done.
Awesome. Thanks.